As we come to God, as we seek Him, many of us know God in terms of our Savior. We know Him as our provider. We know Him as the one who gives us a hope eternal. But how many know God wants us to know Him on so many different levels? I believe He wants us to know Him as well in His power. And I'm going to be honest, I think sometimes the reason the world doesn't give us as much attention as Christ would desire is because I'm not sure that the world always sees His power in us. That supernatural, miraculous power that changes what exists in this realm to something supernatural. Something that this world cannot produce, this world cannot in itself provide. But God can. And so, as we look to God, it is in my heart that we need to pursue and press into the power of God. Now, while saying that, we can never compromise a life of holiness and purity while doing that, because that also causes the church to have a black eye. Because people have gotten a little taste of the power of God in the body of Christ. But what happens at times is that they turn it and they begin to use it for themselves rather than for the glory of God and for what He intended His power to be used for. And so as a good father, I think there's times where God doesn't necessarily allow His power to be manifest, not that it's not always available, but because mankind can distort and get things out of order. And as a result, revivals that God has allowed to begin, that began well, that began rightly, that began strong, because the power became so amazing to people, even those whom God was ministering through, began to turn their eyes off of God and onto themselves, and they began to use that power for their own benefit. Mankind has a unique way of merchandising and marketing the power of God, rather than letting it be what God created it for, and that is to glorify His name and to cause His kingdom to come and His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we're in a day, folks, we're in a day where things are getting worse and worse and worse. And I am convinced that if we don't learn how to tap into the power of God and walk in righteousness and walk in holiness and exercise that power the way God intended it, that there is no hope for this country. I am convinced it's only by the power of God that we will ever see a turnaround. We have gone so far down the proverbial mountainside as the snowball, and it has gotten so monumental, there's nothing but God that can turn it around. And that's going to require His power. Now, over the last several weeks, we have been looking at the spiritual blessings that God has provided us in Christ. And so I'm going to read a couple passages again that just reinforce what we've been looking at for a number of weeks now. Let's look again at Ephesians 2, 6, and 7. It says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." Amen? In order that, listen, in the coming ages, He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. See, God wants to show the world His goodness and His grace. That's the Father's heart for us. And so in Jesus, when we've put our faith in Him, He seated you and He seated me in heavenly places with Him in Christ. And then Ephesians 1:3 says this. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." So spiritually, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And in those heavenly places, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. God has not withheld anything from us. Not one thing. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. That would be good enough, right? But see, God's got a plan for us while we're on this earth. God's got a plan for this earth. It's been written out from the very beginning. But this is what's interesting. God has chosen to include within that plan you and me. And what He does in the earth, He could do sovereignly. You understand that, correct? God is not limited in His power. But God has chosen to limit Himself by you and me. He has chosen that the power that He has given us, the blessings that He has given us, that the things that happen in this earth do not happen unless they happen in us and through us. That's what He intended. That's why He gave, even from the beginning, Adam and Eve, He said to them, "Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and all the creatures of the earth." Because God intends that whatever happens on earth happens through you and me, through His people, through His creation. But He has given us now in Christ spiritual blessings to do more than has ever been done in the history of the world. That is His intention. That was His plan. And so once we have received all of the spiritual blessings that we've been talking about, they then function as God's supernatural provisions that can bring healing and transformation within our souls and bodies, as well as various other provisions we need within our life and relationships. And listen, by receiving all of that, they become the means by which God's plan gets unfolded in this earth, in this planet, in the natural realm, through you and me. All right, so let's briefly, quickly again, run through the spiritual blessings we've been looking at. I'm not going to define them. If you need them defined, you can go on our website. You can ask for CDs of past messages. We've walked through this whole process. But the blessings we've received are justification, reconciliation, healing, salvation, sanctification. Last week we looked at adoption to sonship, and today I am really excited because we're going to look at the resurrection power of Christ. Amen? But what I want to do is I want to tie what we talked about last week with what we're going to focus on today, because our authority in Christ that comes through our adoption in Christ and the resurrection power of Christ working in and through us go hand in hand, all right? And so let's briefly look again. Last week we looked at the spiritual blessing of adoption, and adoption is the supernatural and instant acceptance of a person into God's family, whereby that person is no longer a slave to sin, but becomes a child of God. So when you were adopted in Christ, you received a new identity. You are no longer a slave. You are now a son and or a daughter. Amen? You are a child of God born into his family, but also in relationship, you were accepted into his family. Isn't that amazing? And so you received a new identity. But now along with that identity, the supernatural spiritual blessing of adoption also provides you with authority. It is authority, or the delegated and legal right to, listen, to overcome sin, sickness, and Satan, and to obtain all of God's promises in Jesus' name. You have the authority to do that as a child of God. And the devil can't stop you. See, this is what you need to know. That is your right. That is your birthright. But now also your adopted right as a child in God's family. And so we said the action step in terms of adoption, well, let me back up. We want to look at a few passages real quick that show us how we exercise that authority. Okay, Matthew 16, 19 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, isn't that amazing? The adoption is a spiritual blessing which gives you authority. The keys, how many know you don't get into somebody's house unless you have the key? And typically, you don't have the key unless you own the house. So that you have authority. And what this is saying is that we have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. How many know the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says, is within us? It's that resurrection life and power. Okay? We have authority that whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So we can lock things up, or we can open things up and set things free. So that it deals with our authority. And then John 14, 13 through 14, Jesus said, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. How many know those are the miracles he did? Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. That means he was going to send the Spirit. Amen? He says, and I will do whatever you ask, here it is, in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Did that say anything? Do you think Jesus meant anything? Now, certainly we know this is according to what his plan is. But how many know all these spiritual blessings, they're pretty good stuff, aren't they? And there's not one of those things, listen, not one of them that he's not applying to what he said right here. I want you to think about that. All of those are what you have available to you. And he said, you ask me for any of them, I will do it. Okay? But then we also have a part in this. Amen? So Mark 11 through 20, 22 through 24, Jesus said, have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So once you ask for something, and you believe it, it's yours, right? Now, what that means is it's been provided. But how many know sometimes you can purchase something and it's provided, but you haven't obtained it yet? You have to go get it. Ever had to do that? Well, that's the way this works. And so the way to get it is to speak to some mountains. This is spiritual, correct? We have to bring that which is provided in the spiritual realm into the natural realm. We've asked for it, it's provided, but it's still sitting in the spiritual dimension. So when we start speaking with the authority we've been given as an adopted child of God, that moves that which is in the spiritual realm into the natural realm. Now, there's something we haven't talked a whole lot about that bridges those two things as well, and that's called faith. I'm not going to get into that this week heavily. I'll touch on it, but that's where we're going to go in future weeks. But that faith also needs to be present. But nonetheless, if you have faith and the power is brought and the provision's been made and you have to and you believe and not doubt, right? He said, if you ask for anything and do not doubt, it is yours, correct? But now he says, you got to speak to the mountains. Okay, now I'm going to show you practically a little later how that works. But right now, I want you to understand this is how we tap into the power of God. Okay? And then finally, through our authority, because that's really what we're talking about as adopted child of God, Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So our action step is that in the name of Jesus Christ, take authority over sin, over sickness, and over Satan, and with that authority, obtain God's promises and do the works that he's called you to do. Do you understand you have the authority to do all of that? If you're struggling with that, I'm going to tell you that is a stronghold that you're going to have to take God's word with and you're going to hammer and war down. Now, I know there's doctrines that have been stated in the church that are contrary to what I'm teaching you this morning. But I'm telling you that they have actually become a deceptive stronghold that keep God's people from possessing what God has already given us. And I'm tired of the church just living mediocre. How about you? I'm tired of the church not having what God said we can have. How about you? I want more. I want more. And I want you to have more. So we're going to look at God's resurrection power now. His resurrection power is this. This is the final spiritual blessing. It is the supernatural power of Christ. The word power there is the word dunamis. We get our English words dynamic from this word, or dynamite. You sense their words related to power, right? Okay? It's dunamis. It's his resurrection power. It's supernatural power. It's power you and I can't generate on our own. It has to come from God because it's spiritual, okay? It's beyond this world. It can function in this world, but it's beyond it, amen? So it's the supernatural power of Christ that instantly enters every person who was born again, this power abides within them through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. All right? Now this is what Christ's resurrection power, which has already been given to you in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, this is what it provides for us in the natural realm. It provides us with the ability. Power is ability, right? Authority is delegated in legal right. Power has to do with ability. It is the ability to experience supernatural healing, supernatural transformation, and supernatural provision within the natural realm. That's what the power of God provides us. So it literally becomes, if you will, the means of providing all the other spiritual blessings. Right? They're all sitting there, but it's the power of God that produces in the natural realm what already exists in the spiritual realm. This is why the power of God is so critical. It's why it's the last spiritual blessing I'm talking about. Because I wanted before this to you to know what you possess in the heavenly realms, but now I want you to know the means by which you can possess them in the natural realm. And so we're going to look at this. I'm going to show you how the power of God works from that which is in the spiritual dimension to the natural dimension or realm. Let's look at Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, everybody say invisible. Invisible. How many know invisible means you can't see it? And if you can't see it, you can't go up to touch it or taste it or smell it other than, you know, wind, okay? But even then, wind, it's kind of like it's the results of something. It's you can't, you know, go ahead and just grab a handful of wind in your hand. Let me know how that works out for you, right? Okay, so God's invisible qualities, here they are, his eternal power and divine nature. How many know his nature is good? It's righteous, it's holy. These are all related. And how many know his divine power and his divine nature work hand in hand? You don't separate the two. Okay? So his invisible qualities, his divine power and or his eternal power and divine nature, listen to this, have been clearly seen. Now wait a minute. It just said invisible qualities, and now it's saying his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. Okay, we got to go to the end of the verse, right? Being understood, that's a key word, being understood, because you really can't see them. So we're not talking natural vision. We're talking a spiritual vision. So being understood is something that happens in the heart. Being understood, listen, that from what has been made so that people are without excuse. So what this is saying is that the reason we know and can understand God's invisible qualities, which is his eternal power and divine nature, is because of what we see created in the natural realm. Is that making sense? So what I'm telling you is anything that exists in the natural realm has to come. I'm not talking sin and that type of thing. You understand that, right? God's not the creator of sin. Man was already created. Man sinned. Man brought that into the world, okay? But what I'm talking about is what you see, taste, touch, smell, and hear originated in that which is spiritual. And it was created through God's eternal power and his divine nature. That's how we... So isn't it interesting how evolution, the whole concept of evolution, that something come out of nothing, even though I don't even know how that works, apart from God, right? How did this all get here? The Big Bang. Well, how did what blew up get there? You know, so it's his power and his nature that brings things into place, all right? Now, we've already read Ephesians 1:15 through 20, but what I want us to know now, I want us to see this again, is listen, that power we're talking about, where's that reside now? Let's look. Ephesians 1:15 through 20. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So Paul's praying for the Ephesian church. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. How many know to understand the eternal power and the divine nature of God, it's going to take a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You ain't going to see it with the naked eye, the natural eye. It's got to take spiritual sight and discernment, okay? So he's saying, I pray that the Father may give you the spirit of the wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray, listen to this, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. How many of you seen that hope yet? Anybody seen heaven yet? Okay, so we're still hoping for what we're waiting for, right? So he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened that you, in order that you may know the hope to which you were called, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people, and this is also what he's praying for, that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation about, and we would know his incomparably great power for us who believe. And now he describes it. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. So what we're talking about is the power that created this world, and it's the power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead and then seated him at the right hand of the Father. How many know that's resurrection, eternal, supernatural power? Amen? And what's interesting is that it says, and he wants us to know that that power that is for us, it's ours. He wants us to get a hold of that. And it's going to take revelation for you to get a hold of that. Thank God we've got the Word of God that can bring revelation. Amen? All right? But now let's continue on. We're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, here's where it begins. Seeing that his divine power has granted us everything. Everybody say everything. Everything. Does that sound familiar to every spiritual blessing to you? His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Now, how many know when he's talking about God, life and godliness, he's not talking about the sweet by and by. He's talking about the life we live here and now. That his divine power has given us everything. So now it's not just every spiritual blessing, but every spiritual blessing is everything that has been provided pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Now here we go. For by these, listen to this, this is where it starts getting really good. For by these, he has granted us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now again, his divine nature is his goodness, his holiness, his righteousness, all these things, right? And it's because of those that he provides what he does through his power. Amen? And his power has provided us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And now through that, we can be partakers of the character and the nature of the living God. And how do we do that? It's through these promises. Okay? Now, what I've shared with you about the spiritual blessings, I wanted to show you all that it is we've been provided, okay? But we also tap into those blessings through the promises in God's Word. And so Let's look at what God says about these precious and magnificent promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20 through 22. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Amen. Every promise is yes, and we say amen. Now, amen says, so be it. I agree. Absolutely. Right? But I want you to hear this. Verse 21, now it is God who makes both us and you. He was talking about the Jews and his readers, the Ephesians, because the Corinthians, I'm sorry. He says, it is God who makes us and you stand firm in Christ. Here's the word. Listen, he anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Now, what I want to share with you right now is it's that two verses. That's the reason why every promise in Christ is yes. And when we say amen, we can lay hold of those promises. It's because he has anointed us, he has set his seal of ownership on us, and he has put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. So anointed is the power of God. Amen? He's anointed us with his power. Setting his seal of ownership on us is adoption. We're his children. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. We are his children. We have been adopted. So we have authority. Amen? And he has put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. We talked about that being related to our salvation. That we have an eternal hope that we're waiting for. Amen? In our salvation. Because you haven't received the salvation of your body yet. So all of these are why every promise in Christ is yes and amen. All the spiritual blessings are the reason why every promise in Christ is yes. And when you lend your amen to it, you can lay hold of those promises. You have the authority to do so because the power of God within you can bring them into reality in the natural realm. Now at this point, this is where I want to show you how the power and authority of Christ work together. All right? But I'm going to try to use some natural examples so you can understand. When we talk about the resurrection power of Christ, I want to liken it to a few different things that are natural. I'm not saying this is exactly what the power of God is like, but it's like this. It's an image of the power of God, okay? It's a picture. It's not the power itself. The resurrection power of Christ is like, if you will, I'm gonna say like a backhoe, like a chainsaw, or like the ability to turn on a light switch. Now let me describe what I mean by that. I shared this illustration a little bit in another message, but I work for Consumers Energy. I've operated a backhoe. Thank God they have provided that thing. Because if I had to dig some of the holes by hand that I dug with that backhoe, I'd be in serious trouble. Okay? So that backhoe is a source of power that's greater than my own human power, correct? And it's different than me, but I have access to it. Would you agree? Okay? Same thing with a chainsaw. Okay? That chainsaw can cut down trees pretty quickly in comparison to my teeth and fingernails. Yeah. Yeah. correct? I don't want to try to cut a tree down that way. I'm glad for the ability of chainsaws to cut down trees. Amen? All right? And in a home, you have power in order to turn on the lights. I can't go on a light and get it to turn on. Amen? There's another power source that's going to make that light bulb come on, and it isn't me. Would you agree? So these are all sources of power that exist in the natural realm that are stronger, if you will, more powerful. They have abilities that you and I don't have. Now, whereas all these other forms of power exist outside of us, the resurrection power of Christ actually exists on the inside of us. All right? And so resurrection power is Christ's ability that exists within us to produce supernatural things. See, just like you couldn't dig a hole like a backhoe, you couldn't cut a tree down like a chainsaw, and you couldn't turn on a light like electricity can, the resurrection power of Christ does supernatural things that you can't do in and of yourself. But can you access a backhoe? Can you access a chainsaw? Can you access a light, you know, the power through a light switch? You have access to all of that, correct? Even though you can't do it. Well, the same holds true to the resurrection power of Christ that's on the inside of us. All right? Now, let me ask you, how well is the backhoe going to dig a hole if you get up in the morning and say, Lord Jesus, please dig that hole for me. Lord Jesus, please cut down that tree today. Lord, it's dark in here. Please turn on the light switch. How well is that going to work for you? That doesn't work so hot, does it? Okay? But yet, how many people go and say, Lord Jesus, please heal. Lord Jesus, please take care of this problem that I'm dealing with. Are you starting to kind of get a picture here? See, there's certain things that God's already done. He's already provided the backhoe, the chainsaw, and the power, electricity. But you got to do something to access that power. Amen? So, let's look back at the other forms of power for a minute that we've already looked at. Let's look at the backhoe. When it comes to digging a hole, is the backhoe, okay, we determined that God's not going to do it for us, right? He's given us all those things, but he's not going to do the work for us. Well, let me ask you this. When it comes to digging a hole, is the backhoe going to dig the hole? Or are we going to dig the hole? Okay. I'll go with that. Oh, this is going to be fun. Let's look at the chainsaw. So when it comes to cutting down a tree, is it the chainsaw that cuts down the tree? Or is it us? Ooh, somebody's getting smarter over here. The answer was yes. So when it comes to electricity, when you go to turn on the light, is it the electricity that turns on the light, or is it us? This crowd's wising up. So then, if a backhoe is present, are we going to be able to dig a hole fairly large and quickly if we don't use it? However, if we're not present and operating the backhoe, is the backhoe going to dig the hole by itself? All right, how about the chainsaw? If there is no chainsaw present, are we going to be able to cut down a large tree with our bare hands? However, if we're not present, is the chainsaw going to be able to cut the tree down by itself? And if there's no electricity distributed to our house or power source available, are we going to be able to turn on a light? However, if the power source is present within our home, or if we're not present but we haven't set some kind of a timer, can the power just turn the light on by itself? Okay. You're starting to get the picture, right? I know I'm being somewhat detailed, but it's because I want you to get a hold of this. See, we can't do it without God, and God won't do it without us. Let me say that again. We can't do it without God's power, and God won't do it without us exercising authority. Let's look at this in Luke 9, 1 through 6, and Luke 10, 8 and 9. It's with the 12 and the 72. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all the demons and to cure diseases. Amen? So, he gave them the power and he gave them the authority. Do we have the power? Do we have the authority? Yes. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. Listen, and to heal the sick. Who is going to heal the sick? Could they do it without his power and authority? So what power healed the sick? His power, but not without you, not without them, right? He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village. Two things they did, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. They were using the power of God to do it. But they were doing it. The power of God was doing, manifesting it, but not without their involvement. And so when we say we heal people, Jesus said, go heal people. Now we realize it's not our power that does the healing, but we are the ones who are accessing the power to see the healing manifest. I wish somebody would have taught me this stuff years ago. Because I've heard many people, somebody will say, well, I laid hands on and I healed them. And they'll say, you didn't heal anybody. God healed them. Well, technically, yes, it was his power. But yes, you did. Because if you weren't present, there wasn't going to be any healing. Now, I'm not saying God can't sovereignly move and heal. But he chooses to do this ministry through you and me. Why do you think he sent out the 12? And then let's look at, he said the same thing to the 72. Luke 10, 8 through 9. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered you. So he's basically given the same instructions. He said, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. How many think that a lot of healing, God wants the message of the kingdom combined with it? This isn't just to lavish on ourselves. It's so that we can be healthy, we can be whole, we can be equipped, we can be provided, because our main mission is to go and make disciples of all nations. Amen? This is why God gives us every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so as we've already seen, listen, let's look at how this works now. The spiritual blessing of adoption, we've already seen, provides us with authority in Christ, right? And the spiritual blessing of resurrection power provides us with Christ's abiding ability to bring about supernatural healing, transformation, and provision. So as God's children, we have been given the delegated and legal right to access Christ's resurrection power anytime, anywhere. Do you believe that? If you don't, your believer needs fixing. Because there's a stronghold that's blocking you from obtaining what God has promised you. And there is so much the enemy's trying to throw at us to try to keep us. He does not want us to tap into what God has provided us, because he knows if you get a mobilized, unified army of God rising up, believing in his power, and they know what it's about and what it's for, and they start exercising it, look out, there's nothing that we can't do. Oh, God, let us have this. But now here's what's unique about what Christ has provided us through the final two spiritual blessings of adoption and resurrection power. The authority and power we have received are actually the means by which we receive, experience, or engage in what Christ has provided through all the other spiritual blessings and his promises. His authority, I want you to hear that again. His authority and power are the means by which we can receive, experience, or engage in what Christ has provided us through all the other spiritual blessings and through his promises. So, the reason we can experience forgiveness and cleansing of sin in our soul and body through the spiritual blessing of justification is because in Christ we have received authority and power to do so. And the reason we can engage in the ministry of reconciliation through the spiritual blessing of reconciliation is because in Christ we have received the authority and the power to do so. And the reason we can experience freedom and healing and restoration in our soul and in our body through the spiritual blessing of healing is because in Christ we have received the authority and the power to do so. Folks, that one is no different than all the others. We've got to get our minds renewed about this. It isn't. I realize it's not as easy, because when we don't see something manifest instantly right before us, our eyes, ears, nose, mouth, all of our senses start going, I'm believing this, but this is what I'm seeing. What's true? The truth. That you have every spiritual blessing in Christ, including healing, and you stand and you stand and you stand and you stand until that truth overcomes the factual information you're experiencing in the natural realm. That's how faith overcomes what's going on in this world. It's no different. I'm sorry. Am I there yet fully? I'm not going to admit I am, but I know the truth, and I'm going to continue to ram that stronghold until it comes down and my faith is built, and I'm going to see supernatural power healing people. I am so committed to this, to my dying day I'm committed to this, and I believe something's going to happen before I get there. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Ask me how I really feel about that one. Okay. And the reason We can overcome sinful appetites and attitudes and actions and live with a hope of a resurrection body as an eternal inheritance through the spiritual blessing of salvation is because in Christ we have received the authority and the power to do so. And the reason we can live a holy, set-apart life with our soul and body for God's purpose and plans through the spiritual blessing of sanctification is because in Christ we have received the power and the authority to do so. And finally, the reason we can access every promise that God has provided us in His Word and through His Spirit is because in Christ we have received the authority and the power to do so. Has anyone figured out in Christ we've received authority and power? And has anyone figured out that through that authority and power we can overcome and we can obtain what is necessary for bringing glory to God, building His kingdom, and fulfilling His plans for our lives? So since we have received every spiritual blessing in Christ, we have received authority in Christ, His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness, and all God's promises are yes and amen, what is necessary on our part to receive, experience, or accomplish what God has planned for us in this earth? What is necessary? Next slide. We need to seek God. It's going to require faith. It's going to require spoken words. And it's going to require action. So all of you were sharing something, but it takes all of these to see it happen. Okay? Now, I don't have time to go into the details of that. I will go into a couple, just because I want, otherwise it's just general and you don't understand it. But let's make it simple, like justification, okay? Justification, again, is the supernatural and instant cleansing of a person from sin, whereby they've been made righteous before God, right? Just as if you never sinned. That's the spiritual blessing. It provides for forgiveness and cleansing of sin in the soul and body, correct? So, let's look at how this works. You first seek God, or the Holy Spirit in this case seeks you, and you will experience conviction of sin through the Holy Spirit if you have sinned. Amen? Then through faith, you have to believe God's word on how the promise on how to be forgiven in your soul and body. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, correct? Then you do it. You got to speak it. You got to confess it. Amen? And then finally, the actions is you repent of that sin. Okay? That's just one spiritual blessing. I had this laid out for all the spiritual blessings. I don't have time to do that. I'm going to do the healing one. Okay, healing is the supernatural and instant restoration of one spirit from spiritual death, correct? It provides freedom and restoration for our soul and body. How does this work? Now, this one will get you on the seeking one for some people. Most people, or a lot of people today, would think, well, the seeking is, does God want me to be healed, or doesn't He want me to be healed? Is it God's will for me to be healed, or isn't it God's will for me to be healed? Now, does that make sense when He's already provided you with the spiritual blessing of healing? Are you seeing why that doctrine does not compute with what God has already given? If He's already given something, He's going to say, no, I'm going to take that one away from you. No, wait a minute. I thought he gave every spiritual blessing in Christ. He gave us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And every promise in Christ is yes and amen. So that's not what we're seeking him for. What we're seeking him for is his word regarding his promises about healing and how healing occurs. What I'm teaching you, and I'm going to go into this in future weeks, we're going to get into the healing thing itself specifically, okay? But what I want you to understand is as I've watched Jesus, the way he exercised authority, the way the faith component, what he taught, what I've learned is the clues on how to get healing is really found in Jesus' ministry. The Bible doesn't really give a lot of specifics. It doesn't go do this, do that, do this. It's like you've got to observe it through what Jesus did in order to understand how it works. But I'm almost thinking God did that because he demands faith in order for it to happen, if that makes sense. But I'm going to try to give you some of the how-tos because there's so many things in this world that try to tear our faith down. But nonetheless, you got to seek God for that. Then, when you see it in his word, you got to believe God's heart for you as his child. He wants you whole. And you've got to believe it for others, and you've got to hold fast to the promises of God's word on healing. See how it works? You got to believe. There's faith that's there. Then, spoken words. Speak to pain, sickness, or infirmity and command it. Not ask God to do it. You can ask him once. Lord, I'm asking you to free me of this thing that I'm dealing with. Then you believe it. Okay? But then after that, speak to pain, sickness, or infirmity and command it to leave the body. You speak to those things, not to God. You're not commanding God. You're commanding sickness, infirmity, or pain. And then speak to your body or someone else's body, commanding those things to be restored, healed, or regenerated. Is this making sense? That's the mountain thing. And then finally, take actions that are consistent with what you're confessing and commanding so that your faith is activated and implemented. You may still feel pain. I'm going to get up and walk around anyway. It's going to be my act of faith. The Bible says faith without works is dead. Right? You got to overcome your senses with what you're believing. And sometimes you're going to have to not only speak it, you're going to have to do something consistent with what you're speaking. And so many people don't do that. They say, nope, I can't. I can't. I'm still hurting. You got to fight. That's when it becomes a war in your mind. You're either going to choose to believe what God says or you're going to believe what your body's telling you. And I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it's a fight. You're going to have to war and war and war until the truth becomes the facts. Amen? All right. That's all I can share. I just wanted to illustrate how that process works. And so, last action step. Receive, experience, and engage in what Christ has provided through spiritual blessings and his promises by believing and confessing God's words and his promises. Believe them and confess them. Any promise. Put to death or crucify. Demolish systems of doubt, fear, and unbelief. Those are called strongholds that are contrary to what God's word says. See, yes, you've got to build your faith, but if there's some wall that's standing there, you're probably first going to have to start there. But interestingly enough, you take the truth of God's word, you initially use it as a battering ram to tear down the deception and the lies. And then you take it, and it becomes the source of building. It becomes the tool. The word becomes the tool for building your faith such that it opens the path for the power to be released. The faith is the path by which the supernatural comes into the natural. But faith is then released when you speak it and you act upon it, which is the next part. Commanding or declaring God's word and promises as they relate to your soul, body, life, and relationships. Okay? And then finally, take actions that are consistent with God's word and promises. I went longer than I wanted to, but I have 2 weeks that a couple other pastors are going to be speaking to you, so I wanted to get this covered. I believe you want to know this information. I believe you want to learn how to walk in it. Folks, it's not a magic formula, right? It's not mystical, but it is miraculous. It's not weird. It's not spooky, like so many in the church have described it. There are very clear spiritual principles in God's word that are given to lay hold of his supernatural blessings and power, which provide the blessings. I want to challenge this church. I want you to go somewhere with me as your pastor. I want to fight. I want to win this battle. What I'm seeing happen in our culture right now, I can't even tell you what grief it brings to my heart. And I know no way to see this world changed but by the power of God. And I'm convinced at this point that there are going to be some Christians that have got to see you and me operating in the power of God before they're going to start realizing this is the way. See, I'm not smart enough, I'm not articulate enough, I'm not savvy enough, I'm not charismatic enough to get people to mobilize together who don't believe God's word, whether they're Christians or not. But if we start operating in the power of God, and signs and wonders start showing up because we do believe, he did say, those who believe will lay their hands on the sick and they'll become well, right? Those who believe will cast out demons. Those who believe will raise the dead. Those who believe. I want to be the church that believes. Because this world needs us. This world can't handle dead church anymore. This world can't handle a powerless church anymore. They're mocking us. They're laughing at us. Which that's not my biggest concern. My biggest concern is that they have a reason to. Because we are powerless as a church. I want to become a powerful church. Now I mean that in God's power for the right reasons. Amen? Are you wanting to go with me? Are you willing to go with me? Are we willing to fight until we get it? Are you willing to believe? Are you willing to believe? I'm asking you in these next weeks as we go ahead, get in God's word about his promises. If you've got things in your life you need, get into his word on his promises. But believe it, and then speak, and then act. You realize all four steps were just included there, right? Seek, believe, speak, and act. Those are your marching orders as we go forth in this next week and in the weeks and months and, yes, God willing, until Christ comes, years if they be there, to bring a harvest in. Amen? I don't see it happening any other way. The generation right now, the younger generation, is so deceived. I don't know how you can't break through it without the power of God. I'm just convinced of that. It's beyond breaking through now, apart from the power of God. May we be desperate enough, in the right sense of the word, to go after the power of God so we can go after this generation. I don't want to see a generation lost, folks. you and I are responsible. I'm going to tell you that. We are responsible if that generation is lost. We need to do something about it. Amen? Let's pray.